We've been studying the resurrection of Christ and looking at the different Gospels. We've seen how a group of women went to the tomb early on Sunday morning. They went there to finish anointing the body with spices, as was the custom of the day, the burial custom. When they got there to the tomb, they found, first of all, that the stone had been rolled away. They also saw the soldiers. They were lying on the ground, incapacitated totally. They peeked through the door into the tomb and they saw that the tomb was empty. The body of Christ was not there. Now, Mary Magdalene was one of the women in that group. As soon as she saw that, as soon as she looked in and saw the body was gone, she hightailed it back to find the disciples. She wanted to tell them the body was gone. Remember, her message when she finally found them was, someone stole the body. It's not there. Someone took the body. Where could they have taken it? She went back to find some disciples. The two she found were Peter and John. And she told them the news, because the next thing we saw, and as we studied this, was those two, Peter and John, ran to the tomb. And they saw for themselves what she had said. But when they not only looked into the tomb, they actually went into the tomb. And they found that it was not quite empty tomb. The linens were still there. And it was the shape, the condition of the linens that totally convinced them that he had indeed risen from the dead. We also saw in a previous study that before these two, Peter and John, arrived at the tomb, something else happened. Remember, Mary Magdalene, she left and went running back to find the disciples. The other women were still there at the tomb. They were still there. They also noticed. They peeked in and they saw. They noticed that the body wasn't there. After Mary Magdalene left, they entered the tomb. They went down into the tomb to look around, to get a closer look. And while they were there in the tomb, some angels appeared to them. And the angels gave them a very clear message saying what? Why are you here? Why are you in a place of the dead looking for Jesus? He's not dead, he's alive. Just like he said, he rose from the dead. He's alive. Why in the world are you looking here for a risen Savior? And so they got that message. And what we want to look at today is what happened next with these women. It's in Matthew 28, starting in verse 5. Matthew 28, if you have your Bibles, look in this passage, please. Starting in verse 5, God's Word says this. The angel, one of the angels there in the tomb, the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay." So they looked around, and verse 7 says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now, I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Their response to the angel's message, the angel that told them in the tomb, the angel that told them that Jesus had risen, he was alive. Their response to this, verse 8, they hurried away from the tomb. They were afraid and yet filled with joy. I love that combination of emotions. Afraid but filled with joy. You might say, well, why were they afraid? Duh. Think about it. You know, the first thing is they got to this place and the tomb wasn't closed. The stone was rolled away. Here are these Roman soldiers laying on the ground. They looked like they were dead as far as they could tell. And then in the tomb, the dark tomb, you got to know, in the tomb, all of a sudden these angels gleaming like lightning appear to them and give them this message. I mean, no wonder they were afraid. This is all kind of spooky stuff. You know, there'd be something wrong with them if they weren't afraid. They're afraid, and yet the text says not only that, but they were filled with joy. Telling us what? They got it. They understood what the angel had said. He is not here. Not, oh, his body was stolen. He is not here. He has risen. He's alive. And they got that. They understood it. And the angel even threw in that little reminder at the end, just like he told you he would do. He rose. Just like he said, he rose. And they really got it. They got it that they were filled with joy and they were ready to run back to the other disciples and the other followers and tell them what? Not only is the grave empty, but he rose from the dead. He rose victoriously from the dead, just like he said. And so this is the message they have. So they set off to tell the disciples this good news. Now, it's impossible to know how many women were here. We're told the names in different Gospels together. We're given the names of at least four of them. One, Mary Magdalene, already left. But it seems like it was a nice-sized group of women that went to the tomb. And after Mary Magdalene left, the others got the message from the angels. Now, even that, the group of women that was left, that group did not hang around together. It seems like some of them, as soon as they came out of the tomb, after they heard the angels, it seems like some of them just really rushed back to find the disciples and tell the disciples what the angel had said. I mean, they were filled with joy. And some, you know, anytime you get a group walking, I mean, some are going to walk faster than others. Some are going to really hustle. Others are, and some of them probably talking among themselves, just thrilled to death with the news the angel gave them, you know. So the group evidently got divided. And some of them went back very soon to the disciples, and some lingered a little longer. With the group that was lingering, the slower group, then something amazing happened. More than an angel appearing, we're told what? In verse 9, suddenly Jesus met them. That's an awesome thing, isn't it? I mean, here they are walking back saying, wow, can you believe what that angel said? I mean, isn't this great? I mean, we're going to be able to tell the disciples that he rose from the dead, you know? Isn't this amazing? And all of a sudden, right in front of them, Jesus. Right? I mean, right smack in front of them. And they recognized him. They saw him. Maybe it was his appearance, probably his voice too, the sound of his voice, because what he said to them was, greetings. That sounds a little weird to us because nobody ever says greetings anymore, you know. Basically, he said, so hi, guys. Hi, ladies. How's it going? Do you notice that none of them answered? We're fine, thank you. How are you? You know, nobody answered. Why not? I mean, these guys are in Stunville, right? This is amazing. Here he is right in front of us, you know? And they did recognize him. They got it right away. Jesus met them. The meaning met is more than just appeared to them, you know? There he is in the distance. He met them. He talked to them. He let them touch him, you know? Listen, when they first saw him there, I got to tell you, you got to imagine, because we're told this in other Gospels about other appearances. Some of them might have thought, is this a ghost? Is this a ghost? You know? Some of them might have thought that, but as soon as he talked to them, the ghost thing disappeared from their thinking. And then they ran up, and they were told that they ran up to him, right? And when they touched him, listen, we know at that point they understood it wasn't a ghost. You don't run up and hug a ghost, you know? You don't even try to do that. You know, the fact that they went over to him and they clasped his feet, you know, tells us that they realized this was not a ghost. It's not telling us all the details. They're walking, they're talking, Christ appears. You got to know, on the scary meter of 1 to 10, this was a 15, right? I mean, scared to death right away. But then he says something and the scare turns to, wow, it's him. It really is him. Just what the angel told us. He's alive. You know? And their response to this, they came to him, they clasped his feet, they worshipped him. They were afraid no longer. That fear mixed with joy they had, the fear just disappeared. It's gone. Now, it's this joy just, you know, multiplied in beyond their imagination, the joy factor here. And it's meeting Christ, meeting him in the flesh. They came to him, and instead of running away from him or backing off thinking, oh, it's a ghost or something, they came to him, they grabbed his feet, they clasped his feet. Clasping his feet, by the way, would have been a sign of respect. This was in that culture, in that time, it was a sign of respect to clasp another person's feet like this. But it was also almost a natural reaction to these women, too, as they came, as they approached Jesus. It doesn't say anything about this in the text, but I thought about this right away. When I read this, they clasped his feet. Some of them, how many of them could get around right close to his feet? We don't know, but who, the one or the two that were in the front clasping his feet, you know what they saw? The nail wounds in his feet. They had to see that. They had to make an impression on them. They had to impact them. And even seeing that and recognizing, wow, it is Jesus in this new body, this glorious, this resurrection body. They had to be just thrilled beyond measure as they were there. We also know that the doubt was gone at this point. None of them were thinking, I wonder if what the angel said is really true or not. None of them had any doubt anymore. The certainty had come in. He really is alive. He really did conquer death. He really did rise from the dead. Here he is right in front of us. We're touching him. We're talking to him. It really is Jesus. The certainty was there. The doubt was gone. More than that, more than knowing, hey, Jesus is alive, I want to suggest to you this, that they knew that Jesus, because he was alive, because he had resurrected from the dead, that Jesus is who he claimed to be. He is really the Messiah, the Savior. More than that, they knew he was God. They realized he is who he claimed to be, God in flesh. Because the text tells us not only did they clasp his feet, it says what? And they worshiped him. They worshiped him. It's an awesome thing to see this. They recognized he was God by his resurrection. And this is exactly what Romans 1 tells us. He declared himself to be God by his resurrection, right? They recognized this. Jesus appeared to these ladies, listen, not to scare them, but to convince them of the truth of his resurrection. You get that, right? That was the purpose, not to scare them, but to convince them that he really did rise, to convince them of this truth in order that, what? Being convinced, they could tell others. Being convinced, they could tell others. Listen, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that this is just a little truth here that ought to just stick in our minds and be so solid in our thinking. One of the main reasons God has saved us and convinced us of this truth is so that we can tell others. Part of the reason of our salvation is so that we can share this news with others, the truth that Jesus is God and that there's salvation through Jesus Christ. It just comes with the territory. And this is for sure part of the, we're even told this in this passage, that he appeared to them personally, convinced them with certainty. They knew that he had risen from the dead, and then they are told to tell others, give this news to the others. He told them very specifically to go to the disciples and give them this message and tell them to go back up to Galilee. And Jesus told these women to tell the disciples that he would appear to them too. They would see him. The disciples would see him in his resurrected body, in the flesh. Now, here they are. Jesus is there. The women are at his feet. For sure, we don't have the whole conversation. Some are talking. Some are asking questions. Some are just there holding on and worshiping him, right? Now, who do you think left first, the women or Jesus? The women finally said, well, we've been going at this for half an hour. Let's get up and leave. Can you really imagine any of them leaving first? I can't imagine it at all. But he told us to go to disciples. Hey, maybe we ought to go now. I can't imagine that for a second. It's not stated here. It doesn't tell us. But you got to imagine what happened here is what happened at other appearances of Christ after the resurrection, where he just disappeared. He was gone. And it's when he was gone that they finally got up and said, wow, we got to go tell the disciples. We have to go tell the other followers what happened. We have to tell them about Jesus. We met him. He's alive. He's risen. Let's go back and tell him. So this is a picture we have of this group of women going back to tell the disciples. Now, let's zoom on the disciples. Get a good picture of the disciples, what they're like. Remember now, they're kind of still hanging out together. They're huddled together. It's not a huddle of joy. It's a huddle of fear. They're depressed. They feel like they're worried. They feel like You know, they've been just so disappointed. They're stunned probably by everything that's happened, the crucifixion of Christ and everything. This is a weary group of people that are the disciples. And it's kind of the picture of them painted in the Gospels at this time. This group of men, the disciples, and also some other followers of Jesus, including some women, that were just really down in the dumps and depressed and feeling like, wow, the whole bottom's been dropped out of their lives now. They just don't know what to think. Now, the women are going back to this group of disciples. Now, remember, Peter and John probably weren't in this group. They had left. They had gone to the tomb. Then they went into Jerusalem, so they're not there. We also know that Judas was missing, right? He's not there. We also know that Thomas wasn't with them. We're not told that till later in John, but Thomas isn't there either. So out of the 12, there's 8 disciples here. Sometimes the text talks about the 11. They went to see the 11, you know. The 11 doesn't mean there were 11 people. The 11 was a name, another name, meaning they went to see the group of disciples, the band of disciples. They went to see this. Sometimes they're called the 12. After Judas killed himself, they're called the 11. But it doesn't mean all 11 were there. It's just saying the group of disciples, and we know there were other followers there too. Luke tells us about the 2 guys on the road to Emmaus. They were there too, evidently. So there's a bunch of people there who had trusted, who had followed Jesus, who had trusted what he said about being a Messiah, and then they just could not believe what happened when he was killed, when he was crucified. The women came back to this group of disciples. They came in here. The first group of women, remember I suggested the women got separated into 2 groups. The one kind of went back after they heard the angels. They came running to the disciples, and the message they gave to the disciples was what? We went into the tomb, and angels appeared to us. And an angel said, he's risen. He's not here. An angel told us this. We heard this from an angel. He's alive. He's alive. That was the message the first group of women gave to the disciples. The response of the disciples, Luke chapter 24, verse 11, they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. The disciples, remember, they're kind of distraught. They're disillusioned. They're depressed. They're really so discouraged in all this. And when this group of women came and told them about the angels and everything, their response was they thought it was the text says they thought it was nonsense. They thought that's just plain silly. Makes no sense at all. It's ridiculous. Totally unbelievable. They looked at the little group of women that told them that, and they were probably thinking what? These poor ladies. I mean, they're so upset, you know, and They one of them must have talked about a vision and told the others, and the others all believed what she said, you know, and they're coming back about this news about a vision of some angels and stuff like that, you know. They gotta get a grip. They gotta face reality. You know, I mean, he died. You know? And the angel story, you know, I want to tell you the disciples had to respond that way. This is how they responded. They thought the whole thing was nonsense. What these women were talking about. They probably thought, you know, well, the whole group's been deceived by somebody's silly little talk about a vision of an angel or something like that. While they are probably discussing this, and the women are a little upset because they weren't believed, you know, but while they're discussing this, the other group of women got back. The group of women that had not just heard the angel's message, but had met Jesus. And they came back. And here they walked in, and you can picture this, right? A group of women with this, having just had this experience, they come into the room filled with all the other ex-followers of Jesus, and they're all talking at once and yelling at once and trying to get their story out. Listen, can you imagine a group like that and everybody saying, okay, I'll be quiet, you tell the story. Nobody wanted to be quiet. Nobody wanted to sit back and let the other person tell it for sure. There's all this yelling and everything. It probably took a while for the story to get out. But finally, through the different women that were there, the message was there, the story was out. Yes, everything that these other ladies told you happened, the angel thing, the message from the angels. But more than that, after they left us and they came back here, we're on our way back and Jesus himself appeared to us in the flesh. We talked to him. We touched Him. We hugged Him. It's Jesus. He's alive. We're certain of this. There's no doubt at all in our minds. We met Him. He's alive. Boy, when the disciples heard that, just like that, they were totally convinced. Would not that have been nice? Wouldn't it be great if they said, yes, okay. The disciples listened to that and thought, oh no, not another group. You know? What in the world did y'all have for breakfast? What's going on? How could you possibly think that? Listen, here's the question. Here's the question. Having heard from the group of women and about the angel, having heard from the second group that even said, we met Jesus, why were these disciples so adamant in their refusal to believe? What made it so hard for them to believe? I mean, here, think about it. For 3.5 years they had been with Jesus. For 3.5 years they had seen Jesus do miracle after miracle after miracle. Thousands of miracles over the 3+ years, right? Some of those miracles even included what? Bringing people back from the dead. They had seen that. Some of them were with Jesus when He called Lazarus forth from the grave 3 days after He died. They saw that. So what made it so hard for them to believe that Jesus rose from the dead? And the answer is just one fact. The answer is because He had died. Jesus died. When He was alive, of course He could do these things, they thought. We saw Him. But He died. He's dead. He can't do anything now. It's impossible for Him to do anything, even bring Himself back from the dead. He's dead. This is what they were thinking. This was the message they got. This was a barrier in their receiving and responding to the news that the ladies gave them. Was they were thinking one thing, He died. End of story. He died. There's no possibility of there being another chapter. He is dead. Listen, the real problem they had wasn't the fact that knowing He died, right? He did die. The real problem they had is they did not know and believe that Jesus was God. If they believed that Jesus was God, His dying wasn't all that big of a problem. He could still bring Himself back to life. He could still be resurrected. If He were God, of course He could do anything. I mean, if He's God, He's the God who brought this universe into existence from nothing. He created this universe by His spoken word. You think a resurrection is difficult for that God? You think anything's difficult for that God? No. Listen, here's another little side thought for it to challenge us. Do you find yourself sometimes thinking that you have a problem in life that's a little too difficult for God? I just don't think God can handle this, you know? Here's a conflict in the family. It's just a little too tough for God, you know? Here's a problem with my work situation. I just, you know, this is a tough one for God. We find ourselves sometimes thinking that way. That it's too tough, and we need to come back and say, whoa, wait a minute. We're talking about the majestic, all-powerful, sovereign God of the universe. There's nothing impossible. There's nothing that's hard for Him. The disciples did not grasp and understand the fact that He is God, and therefore, they His death was end of story. They couldn't fathom the possibility that He could be brought back to life, that He could come back to life, that He could conquer death. He died. Now, it would be really nice if we'd say, well, okay, here's what they needed to do. First, they needed to believe He's God, and then they could believe the resurrection. Actually, in God's plan and the way that God worked, that process is reversed. Reversed totally. I want to show you this. I call it the progression of understanding or the progression of belief that we see here and with the disciples. And that is, after they met and talked with the resurrected Lord, then they became convinced of His resurrection. They met Him. They talked with Him. They touched Him. They spent time with Him, and that convinced them that He rose from the dead. He was alive. It was the experience of being with Him and seeing Him that convinced them He didn't really rise from the dead. After they were convinced of His resurrection, they became certain of His deity, the fact that He's God. Because He rose from the dead, He is who He claimed to be. Because He demonstrated that resurrection power, He is who He claimed to be, God. in flesh. God in flesh. Now listen, I want to tell you, this is a really hard concept. This had to be difficult for the disciples to believe. We gotta give them a little slack here. Why didn't they believe this all along? Jesus is God? This one that they spent 3.5 years with? The one who they talked with and ate with? Who traveled? Who had to sit down and rest? Who got thirsty along the way? This one is God? This was a hard truth to get a hold of. You gotta know that. God is so gracious to us. So gracious in the way He deals with us and with our weaknesses and with our limited understanding. So gracious with the disciples to just say, this is God, believe it or not, just take it like it is. Instead of that, He said, I'll give you proof. I'll give you proof. Here it is. See Jesus resurrected. See Jesus in the flesh. Talk to Him. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. He's alive. And now believe that He is who He said He is. Not only Savior, but God. After they became convinced of His deity, then they trusted Him as their Savior. Then they worshipped Him as their God. You see the progression. You see the order. The resurrection convinced them that He is who He claimed to be, God. The response to that truth, that He is Lord, that He is God, then resulted in trusting Him as their Lord and their Savior and worshipping Him, exalting Him as their God. You see? It's an awesome thing because, listen, the same thing is true in our lives today, I want to tell you. I mean, these women and the disciples later that met Jesus, and we're told in 1 Corinthians there were more than 500 disciples and followers who actually met Jesus in His resurrection body. All of those became eyewitnesses to the truth that Jesus rose from the dead. They're called to be witnesses. That's a term that Christ used when He sent out His disciples. You shall be witnesses. The idea of witness there is much stronger with the disciples than it is for us today. We're witnessing to the truth. We're testifying to the truth. They were eyewitnesses to the resurrection. That was the message. We met Jesus resurrected from the dead. Believe that He rose from the dead, and by His resurrection He has proved that He is Lord and God. Now trust Him. Trust Him. Depend on Him. Worship Him as God and Lord and Savior. It's an awesome thing for us to understand this progression that we're given to accept Him. None of us have seen the resurrected Savior. But listen, what do we have? We have God's Word. And we have in that, we have a record. We have a record of His miracles that Jesus performed. We don't have all of them, but we have a record of hundreds of miracles He performed to prove that He is who He claimed to be, God. Not only that, we have the eyewitness accounts. The New Testament filled of eyewitness accounts of people who met and saw Jesus after His death and after His resurrection. We have those accounts, right? We have the eyewitness accounts of those who say, I saw Jesus after His death, after His resurrection. He did rise. He did rise. He is God. We have all that. In addition to that, we have the rest of God's Word. God-breathed Word of God. We're told in 2 Timothy, the God-breathed Word. It's God's truth to us, and God's truth to us tells us what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is God. Listen, the same place where the women were, when the angel told them, right, was they had two choices. They could either believe what the angel said or they could refuse to believe. When they went to the disciples and the women told the disciples, we met Jesus, He's alive. He conquered death. He's risen from the dead. The disciples had the choice to believe or not believe. Listen, here's the thing. 2,000 years later, every one of us has the same two choices. Either believe or don't believe. Either believe Jesus rose from the dead, and that He is God. Or don't believe. All of us, we have the same two choices. Same two options. Could I expand those two options? We have the option to believe that He is God, who conquered death. And by faith, by putting our faith in Him, we will be given the gift of forgiveness and everlasting life to spend eternity with Him. Or we have the option of not believing and spending eternity separated from our God. Every one of us, the same choice. The same choice. And I want to tell you, it is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Because it is that which will determine how you live life here on this earth and how you will spend eternity. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together in your word. I thank you for the truths from your word. Challenge us, Spirit of God, work in my heart and each one of our hearts. Use your truths, use your word, the principles here, use it to help us to grow in our understanding and our appreciation of you and our determination to please you, to share the great news of life with others around us. Encourage us, Spirit of God. There might be someone here today that is still in that place where they have not decided and have not recognized and acknowledged you as God and Lord. And they have not, Lord Jesus, put their trust in you as their Savior. Help them to see this and understand this truth today. By your resurrection from the dead, you proved with power that you are God. That you are God. And because you're God, you're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our honor. You're worthy of our thanks. Because you are God. Your promise is so clear. When we put our faith and trust in you, you love us. You forgive us. You bring us into your family. You bring us into a personal relationship, Lord Jesus, a personal relationship with yourself. And we are yours for all eternity. Thrill us with this truth. In your name we pray. Amen.